The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And that takes its time. But the shack outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about.
Welcome just back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I welcome back a fine guest, the returning champ, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, welcome back. I'm sorry you're going to miss Dom.
Good to be with you once again, Mike, and we'll have to extend best wishes to Dom in another setting.
I've promised I'm going to venture down to Waukesha as the weather gets nicer here. Fridays is going to be my Waukesha day. And Jim, we often spend Fridays together. There's been so many legal topics to talk about over these last 3, 4, 5 years. But Jim, today, perhaps good news on the legal front. It's not the indictment of Donald Trump, not yet. But a Supreme Court judicial nominee, President Joe Biden, has nominated Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. And first and foremost, did I butcher the name?
You did just fine. And I suspect all of America is going to have to get used to hearing her name repeatedly. This is a very important day in American history and a very significant nomination by this president. Obviously, the first one that he has to replace. And obviously, with Stephen Breyer leaving, it doesn't shift the ideological composition of the court, but brings to the court a woman who is incredibly well qualified for this position and looking forward to very good things from her judicial pen.
Now, Jim, I haven't been playing the judicial hot stove league. I haven't been, you know, trying to speculate on who Joe Biden might choose, but I feel like I've got some prior memory of this judge, perhaps in the legal realm, and specifically on rulings in Trump cases. What's been her role recently? What major cases has she ruled on that we might have talked about here?
Sure. So, you know, she is a part of the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. And before, and she's been in that position just for 1 year. President Biden nominated her. She was confirmed 53-44 just last year for that position. So she's relatively new to the Court of Appeals. We have plainly talked a lot about this Court of Appeals. The D.C. Circuit is often regarded as the feeder court to the Supreme Court. And most recently, of course, this is the Court of Appeals that has finally shut down Donald Trump's attempt to stop the disclosure of his presidential documents. It comes out of that court. Now, Judge Ketanji Brown obviously is not a member of every panel that issues opinions out of that particular court, but nonetheless has been a very active member in a lot of these high visibility cases. She served before that as a district court judge also in the District of Columbia, and her name has come up from time to time in that setting as well. So this is once again somebody who is not only does her name bring back lots of recollections from prior litigation, but she's got this experience that you want a Supreme Court justice to have. She's been in the courtroom. She has obviously worked with defense counsel. She's worked with prosecutors. She's worked with victims, witnesses. She herself previously was a defense attorney, which again is a
federal public defender, if I understood correctly, Jim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, there's been a tendency, I think, for all presidents to appoint prosecutors or people who are kind of on my side, if you will, of the bench. But I've always said that the only way the system works is if we've got both sides being advocates and doing that well. She brings that perspective of a criminal defense attorney who understands what it is to defend a case, just as important, if not more so, than a prosecution. So again, she's got this background. Beyond that, of course, there's also a bit of a Wisconsin connection to her. You may know that her in-laws actually are somewhat distantly related to, yes, that's right, Paul Ryan's in-laws. And so you have to invite her to the show sometime and bring her, if you will, back home to Wisconsin in some very tangential way.
Well, Jim, you've taught me something. I heard the tangents talking about that before. Luke Mathers, et cetera, playing out before us on Devil Radio. Right now, though, you're listening to the finest of guests. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. And, Jim, my understanding is she does have just a smoking resume, sort of ironclad, you know, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's of her resume. And, Jim, she has already been through Senate confirmation with the acceptance of at least 3 Republicans. So Is that pretty good? I mean, in this day and age, I would think for an appellate court position, you know, you would have hoped to have seen more Republican supportive. Is every judicial appointment, you know, not even talking about the Supreme Court, is every single one a battle of partisanship?
Right. Regrettably, it's getting to that point. I mean, we forget that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was confirmed overwhelmingly. I've forgotten the exact number. It was in the 90s to just a handful of people on the other side who were opposing her nomination. That wasn't that long ago. And so this is a relatively new development. It's not that there have been Supreme Court justice nominees who have failed as the process has gone forward, been withdrawn. But this notion that is hugely partisan, it should always be focused, Mike, on the quality of the human being, right? And I know that Americans can be very, very cynical, if you will, about the politicization of our courts, including the Supreme Court. But you want to try to battle against that, both perception and the reality, by having somebody of this quality. Again, not only educationally, comes out of Harvard, which I'm told has a reasonably good law school from time to time, but also has this tremendous background in terms of her own experiences, served on the United States Sentencing Commission and involved in the process by which rules and regulations are set forth for federal sentencing. And so you do want to have somebody who's got this broad background. One of the commentators this morning, perhaps making this a little bit more light than it should be, said she's from Central Casting. There's something to that, that this is somebody who's bright, who's energized. She has got all these different perspectives. She has had this distinguished, although just a 9-year career on the bench, but again, more than many other justices have had. And so she brings to this nomination all those good things. You would hope, as in years long gone by, that people on both sides of the political aisle would look at this and say, this is quality. And regardless of what they may think about her future rulings, look to the things she's done, the Court of Appeals and the District Court, this is somebody who should be on the United States Supreme Court because she's able to understand what the rule of law is, apply that to the facts, and get to a result that is justice-based. That's what she's all about.
Well, Jim, I would be curious if you know, can read the tea leaves about her judicial philosophy, because the first thing I heard this morning is Lindsey Graham saying, you know, the radical left is won. Apparently, she's far too radical, at least for his South Carolina taste, his sensibilities. He's got the vapors, Jim.
Right. And again, we will certainly anticipate hearing that sort of thing. And plainly, anytime there's a Republican nominee, perhaps those on the Democratic side make similar allegations. Now we're going to hear this. The reality is, when you look at her background and you look at the things that she has decided, even a case that came out just yesterday, describing her position on a power company. This is somebody who I would describe as balanced. This is not somebody who's bringing to the judiciary a bias in one particular area or another. She plainly has a broad worldview, and that's a good thing. She plainly has a view about the importance of humanity. There is a civil rights aspect to that, a human rights aspect of that. I would offer that Republicans and Democrats should be equally attracted to that as well. She's got a practical appreciation for how the law works. I cannot emphasize enough that trial court experience. Wow, that is incredibly important. Again, an appellate lawyer looking at a record, understanding what happens, understanding when you read a cold transcript, what's really going on in the courtroom, understanding the reality of a cross-examination, of jury selection, all those kinds of things. You don't get that unless you've been in the courtroom for a number of years, and she's got it.
Former U.S. Attorney James Santel, our fine guest. Jim, I know that this pick was specifically about race because Joe Biden announced 2 years ago today he was going to impanel a Black woman, or at least nominate a Black woman for the U.S. Supreme Court. And historically speaking, the first African-American to ever serve on the court, Thurgood Marshall. And then there was certainly a change of direction with that seat and the very contentious confirmation of Clarence Thomas. And he only got 52 votes. And that was back when they used to get a lot more than 52 votes, at least historically speaking. Jim, race and this seat, how much of a factor is this? I know I've already heard some dog whistles. If you lead with race, then you're the racist and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, the people that are saying that are primarily those that, you know, often burn the crosses down south. So what's your thought on this whole issue of race and qualification?
Right. And again, we're going to hear that. Regrettably, it is truly unfortunate. And I would go back to the comments that you and I have already made on this very thoughtful program this afternoon. If you did not know who this was, what her name was, what her race was, and simply looked at the background of a jurist who brings these qualifications educationally, experientially, the things that she has done in her career to this point, the way that she writes her opinions, the thoughtfulness of it, her work, trying again, being an appeals court, you know, consensus building, you've got to put together at least one other judge to join you in opinion, sometimes en banc opinions. If you did not know about her race, if you did not know about her gender, you would say this is a candidate who is at the top of the list. And so what I would say to those people who are saying that this is those dog whistles, as you say, that this is about filling a race position or filling a gender position, the answer is just the opposite. I would say that this is a supremely qualified, pun perhaps intended, supremely qualified individual in American jurisprudence who will do an outstanding job again for many decades yet to come. She's only 51 years old, who simply happens to be a woman and happens to be Black. If you put those two immutable characteristics to one side, you would still come up with this nominee. There are others who also fall into those categories out there. She is quite literally the top of that list. This should have no part of the discussion here at all. It is demeaning, candidly, to the very debate about qualifications and her review to say that this is about race or this is about gender in some way. It is not.
Well, Jim, you still know every opinion host on Fox News will make a point of mispronouncing her name multiple times if possible, much like they did to Kamala Harris. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, my fine guest. Jim, you're going to stick around for one more segment for me, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm delighted to have further conversation about this important day in American history.
Well, I also want to ask you about the aforementioned Justice Clarence Thomas. And I don't usually bring up a justice's wife, but I'm sure you've read some of the reporting at the New York Times, the comprehensive reporting that would seemingly indicate, and they're always very careful in their reporting, that Clarence Thomas's wife was the impetus behind the January 6th and what happened at the Ellipse, and perhaps, you know, a driving force behind the organization thereof. And even after it got violent, Jim, she has been a signatory to a letter effectively saying, you know, let's boot Kinzinger, let's boot Liz Cheney, because, you know, it's not right to investigate these patriots. I guess we have 2 minutes, Jim. What's your thoughts on Jenny Thomas?
Right. This is problematic on a couple of grounds. One is her as a single individual. Those kinds of things, are, as we've talked before, not productive, not a way of advancing our common movement toward peace and toward finding out what's going on in January 6th, which is what the committee is all about, Liz Cheney, Kinzinger, and others, just the opposite, and plainly being an advocate for not disclosing information. The fact that she may have been more intimately involved, as the New York Times has reported, also raises a secondary consideration. That is, the United States Supreme Court, as I just indicated, has reviewed matters related, not just tangentially, to January 6th. Now, she's a spouse. She has a right to her own views and those kinds of things. But we often look to those kinds of things and say, you know what, is there an appearance of impropriety to have a justice whose spouse is also very much in the public domain, very much in these same kinds of issues? And does that have some impact upon your administration, Justice Thomas, and your delivery, Justice Thomas, on the bench of the rule of law with respect to January 6th related issues? That's the concern. That's the appearance of impropriety to begin with. There may be more to it as we get more information about this. It is troubling.
Well, that and the fact that John Eastman was one of his clerks, and Eastman wrote the memo, the coup memo, effectively. My fine guest, James Santel. It's a Friday. I'm airing the grievances with him and perhaps with you. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.